KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy skies. It's 31 degrees, looking for it to be sunny today, a high of 58. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. A rear-end collision Wednesday afternoon in Atlantic caused $4,000 damage, but there were no serious injuries. According to the Atlantic Police Department, vehicles driven by John Carnes and Jacqueline Sheeter, both of Atlantic, collided near the intersection of 7th and Plum Streets. Both vehicles were traveling westbound on 7th at around 4:20 p.m. when Sheeter slowed for traffic that was stopped at the signal lights. Her vehicle was hit from behind by Carnes' vehicle. Carnes complained of pain afterward but declined medical assistance. He was cited, or rather given a warning, I should say, for failure to stop at an assured clear distance. News time is 8:01.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
What?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. Even though there are many ways to politely tell someone you didn't hear them, not being able to understand what people are saying to you is frustrating for everyone. Because hearing loss happens gradually, many times you and those around you develop coping behaviors to keep the communication flowing. Speaking louder, lip reading, and eventually the frequent request to repeat. But because those behaviors don't address the real source of frustration, your hearing loss, it can become a hearing problem for everyone involved. The best way to avoid the frustration is to recognize the real culprit and to take action. A hearing evaluation is the first step. Even if what you're experiencing is a very mild hearing loss and hearing aids are not needed, knowing what's going on allows you to stay on top of your hearing loss. No one wants a conversation that revolves around,
excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Shelby County emergency management officials have lowered the county's fire danger rating from high to moderate. EMA Coordinator Bob Seibert said yesterday that cooler temperatures, recent and expected moisture will provide a small window for this weekend. If you have a pile of brush or waste to burn, you need to call the Shelby County Emergency Management Agency at 755-2124 and contact your local fire chief in that county so they're aware of the location and nature of the controlled burn. But always be aware that your city ordinances regarding burn time and open burning are all in effect. The results of a study conducted by the Iowa Hospital Association reports the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic generates 361 jobs that add $23.5 million to the economy in Cass and surrounding counties. The IHA study has said also that CCMH employees by themselves spend $5.4 million on retail sales and contribute $326,521 in state sales tax revenue. CCMH CEO Todd Hudspeth said in a press release that people are often surprised to learn how many people we employ and the size of our business. He says it takes a lot of patient care professionals to enable us to care for our community 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and even more staff behind the scenes. Cass Atlantic Development Corporation Executive Director Russell Joyce said the Cass County Health System has become a major player in the area quality of life that we market for our area, and having an up-to-date facility that is well-staffed and equipped, along with an administration plus a board of trustees that looks to the future, is a large part of a growing community. Joyce added that there is an influx of younger families returning or relocating to our community, along with retirees, both looking for a higher quality of life, and they can thank our healthcare providers for helping make that happen. The IHA study examined the jobs, income, retail sales, and sales tax produced by hospitals and the rest of the state's healthcare sector. The study was compiled from hospital-submitted data on the American Hospital Association's annual survey of hospitals and with software that other industries have used to determine their economic impact. The study found that Iowa hospitals in general directly employ 71,437 people and create another 57,792 jobs outside the hospital sector. As an income source, hospitals provide $4.2 billion in salaries and benefits and generate another $1.8 billion through other jobs that depend on hospitals. In all, Iowa's healthcare sector, which includes employed clinicians, long-term care services and assisted living centers, pharmacies, and other medical and health services, directly and indirectly provide over 307,400 jobs in the state, or about one-fifth of the state's total non-farm employment. The Iowa Hospital Association is a voluntary membership organization representing hospital and health system interests to businesses, government, and consumer audiences. All of Iowa's 118 community hospitals are IHA members. The Atlanta Community School District Board of Education will meet in a closed session Monday evening at the high school, during which time a public hearing, or not a closed session, but a work session, that is, on Monday, during which time a public hearing will be held on the proposed 2014-2015 certified budget, which sets the rate that patrons of the district will pay in terms of property taxes. The proposed budget calls for a 66-cent increase per $1,000 assessed valuation from $14.25 per $1,000 to $14.91. Last year's levy generated $5.84 million. This year, the levy will generate a little more than $6.28 million for the district. Business manager and board secretary Mary Beth Fast said the budget incorporates changes in how the district spends for next year and how much anticipated revenue is generated.
We are generating money in our management fund that will pay for these early retirements, which we have coming up, plus our property casualty insurance premiums. And the board has a physical plant and equipment levy that they always do every year. And then we also have the voted TEPL. So both of those are in that. And then our general fund. We don't have a debt service because we don't have any bond issues. Our middle school projects is paid through the 1 cent sales tax.
During the board's meeting back on March the 10th, Superintendent Dr. Michael Amstein said the district needs to try and cut more than $803,800 from the budget over the next couple of years. One of the ways the district hopes to accomplish that is through its early retirement proposal. Elsewhere, cost reductions could be made across all departments, the cutting of two paraeducator positions from the Level 3 Behavior Program and other similar savings. Monday's work session and public hearings begin at 7:30 p.m. at the High School Media Center. The hearing will be followed by action on the approving the personnel recommendations, the 2014-2015 proposed certified budget, along with discussion with regard to capital projects and the one-to-one computer initiative. An economist says a survey of bankers in 10 Midwestern and Plains states suggests the regional economy is experiencing slow to no growth. The Rural Main Street Index rose slightly above growth neutral in March to 50.1 compared to 48.4 in February. The survey indices range from 0 to 100, with 50 representing growth neutral. A score above 50 suggests growth in that factor in the months ahead. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss oversees the survey, and he says the region will need to see more increases in farm commodity prices to push the agriculture-based economy back into a healthy growth territory. Bankers from Colorado, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming were all surveyed. Charges and countercharges are flying around the statehouse in Des Moines following a Democratic senator's assertion that state employees who judge unemployment compensation disputes have been pressured by the agency's director to tip cases in favor of businesses. The legislature's top Democrat, Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstall from Council Bluffs, said the actions of Iowa Workforce Development Director Teresa Wehlert were inappropriate. A spokesman for Republican Governor Terry Branstad has called the allegations Washington, D.C.-style politics, and the legislature's top Republican, House Speaker Craig Paulson of Hiawatha, is echoing those sentiments.
I think this is all about the gubernatorial race. Everything they're doing is in this public accusatory form, as opposed to, why don't they come and talk to one of us and say, hey, we have this concern here, how do we fix it?
Senator Bill Dotzler, a Democrat from Waterloo, who first raised concerns about the Iowa Workforce Development Director on Wednesday, says he's engaging in Waterloo-style politics.
Facts are stubborn things, and my advice to them is, when you're in a hole, stop digging, because the truth will come out.
Speaker Paulson suggests Dotzler and his fellow Democrats should have taken their concerns to Republicans in private first.
They apparently identified an issue or something that offends them. Maybe it should offend us too. I don't know, because they haven't shared the information with us. All I know is that they're out, you know, tweeting and Facebooking and talking in hyperbole.
Jack Hatch, a state senator from Des Moines who is the only Democrat running for governor, accused Governor Branstad of creating a culture of secrecy in state government.
And I, as a candidate for governor, see a pattern. A pattern that I brought up last August when I said the governor was abusing his power, where he felt he was above the law, where he was more interested in his legacy of being the longest serving governor than actually managing the state. So this is nothing new to me. And it's a pattern that's emerging, not from my campaign, but from different areas of state government.
Hatch said Branstad needs to hold a news conference and to answer questions in public, like New Jersey Governor Chris Christie did after the revelation that Christie aides ordered a busy bridge closed as payback to a political foe. Branstad is on vacation in Arizona this week with his family. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Vladimir Putin is calling the annexation of Ukraine's Crimea region a remarkable event. The Russian president today signed bills making the strategic Black Sea Peninsula part of Russia. Meanwhile, Ukraine is taking part in 2 weeks of multinational military exercises that involve troops from 12 NATO member and partner nations. The exercises, which began today and also include the United States, were planned before the current east-west standoff over Russia's annexation of Crimea from Ukraine. Australia says planes sent out to the southern Indian Ocean today to search for the missing Malaysia Airlines jetliner have still found nothing. Those large planes have been covering an area where satellite images showed two large floating objects officials say could be from the plane that disappeared March the 8th with 239 people on board. And a 14-year-old boy is in custody in New York City after authorities say he opened fire on a city bus in Brooklyn and fatally shot a passenger in the head. Police say 39-year-old Angel Rojas was not the intended target. The New York Times reports the shooting erupted yesterday evening during an argument among a group of teenagers, and more than one shot was fired. News time is 8:11.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In the funeral announcements, Verrill Benton, age 90, of Guthrie Center, died Monday. Funeral services for Verrill Benton will be today at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Meredith Blazik, age 67, of Rural Orient, died Tuesday. Celebration of life services for Meredith Blazik will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Harold Littlefield, age 86, of Exira, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Harold Littlefield will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Exira Christian Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Glenn McGill, age 73, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Glenn McGill will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Church of Christ in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Charles Parmley, age 91, of Brayton, died Saturday. Funeral services for Charles Parmley will be held this coming Saturday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Donald Spoo, age 81, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. Memorial services for Donald Spoo will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Alan Craig Parker, age 64, of Marthasville, Missouri, and formerly of Oakland, died Tuesday. Graveside services for Craig Parker will be tomorrow at 11:30 in the Belknap Cemetery west of Oakland. Reconvith Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Anna Christine Flynn, age 94, of Elkhorn, died February 28th. Memorial services for Anna Flynn will be held Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Veda C. Larson, age 86, of Audubon, died Wednesday at the Friendship Home. Funeral services for Veda Larson will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. G. Lyle Wittrup, age 89, of Atlantic, died Wednesday. Memorial services for Lyle Wittrup will be held Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the chapel at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Phyllis Ely, age 72, of Griswold, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Services for Phyllis Ely are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Jerry Bice of Des Moines died Tuesday. Memorial services for Jerry Bice are pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.